You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. And now, Side B.
You ready to talk about Nikki?
Oof.
Speaking of expensive tickets for concerts.
How much is a Nikki show?
More than I thought it would be. Hold on. You know what? Last I checked, she still had plenty of tickets available. So let's go.
She's doing a stadium tour, right?
Her and Future are doing arenas, yeah.
Wow.
So let's see. They're doing a Friday night in Connecticut.
There you go.
Still standard tickets of it. They're not even scalpers, like just standard tickets. But like, we're talking upper level. Right, so it's not the biggest arena. It's a WNBA arena. So it seats like 15,000, 16,000, right?
Did you say a WNBA arena?
It is. It's where the WNBA, where a WNBA team plays.
Okay.
I didn't mean that in a pejorative way.
Come on, Doc. No, I'm joking.
$106.
Whoa, for nosebleeds?
I mean, it's not like, I think there's no super bad seat here, but still, upper level, not lower level. Upper level is 106.
You bugging.
Not bugging.
Has she even announced all of the people on the tour? Because I know they announced Tekashi.
It's Nikki and Future.
Nikki, Future, Tekashi, but I thought there were two other people. I thought on the flyer there was like the two of them, and then there was three slots for opening acts.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at, because Ticketmaster will actually show you like where, I mean, honestly, like these upper level prices are way too expensive, because like virtually, like there are entire rows that have not been sold, that not a single seat has been sold yet.
Crazy.
Now, granted, this is Connecticut. Maybe, let me be generous here. Let me check. The show the night before in Boston.
Okay.
Way cheaper. Way cheaper. Now Boston has, you go even higher. It's a slightly bigger arena. So nosebleed is a little more nosebleedy.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get super nosebleed, we're talking $30, $31.
Okay. That's actually cheap.
I mean, but that's way in the back. Then it goes to 50, 60, 70. This is all still upper level.
But that's about what I would want to pay for a concert ticket. I would at least have the option to.
Right. That's interesting. Like if I'm paying, it's super interesting that the tickets in Connecticut are that much more expensive. Man.
Yeah. Because if I'm paying $100 for a ticket, like I'm at least lower level.
Yeah. And so, interesting. So I'm looking at this right now. So for Nikki, every pair of online tickets, every pair, mind you, every pair of online tickets comes with one physical copy of Nikki's album Queen. And Future's forthcoming album. 24 to 48 hours after purchase, you'll get an email that tells you how to redeem your album. Interesting. So it is a physical version, but you still have to redeem it. They're not just shipping it to you. All this to talk about to say, Nikki put out an album called Queen. She has been doing this massive promo run.
And, Hold on. Go ahead.
I was going to say, and I feel like what people are talking about almost more than the music is the promo and the sales and what is going on with this thing.
The theatrics.
That's at least what I'm seeing on Twitter.
Absolutely.
And online. But maybe that's just the people who I follow and the places I check. But
Right. Yeah.
I don't hear a lot of talk about the actual music with a few exceptions.
I think I heard a lot of talk about the album the day the album came out. One record in particular caught a lot, but I think overall people were like, all right, I think it was like a 75 degree day. Some people might have complained, but for the most part, people were like, all right, cool.
Wait a minute.
It's nice. Nice outside.
No. Nobody, 75 is a perfect day. Nobody complains about
75. All right. 66 degrees.
All right. It's a little chilly for some people.
Exactly. Chilly for some people, but some people are cool with that. Hold on. So before we go into Nikki.
Yeah.
Speaking of tours, just before we.
Oh, sure.
So at the last time we talked, Bruno and Cardi were going on tour.
Yeah.
Cardi took, she stepped back from the tour to take care of her baby.
Took a couple bars off.
Let Just Live or Let Culture Live. But Bruno yesterday announced who was replacing her. Did you see this?
Yeah.
All right.
It's an interesting approach.
Very. So it's basically turned into the Essence Festival because you've got Sierra.
Which is not a bad move for him.
No, not at all. Not at all. I want to know what this does for ticket prices because he was so. I remember my college professor in one of my classes wanted to go see him and he was saying that like nosebleeds were like $250.
Oh, interesting.
So this is peak 24 karat magic. And so I wonder, you know, okay, so Bruno and Cardi, sure. But now you've got Sierra, you've got Boyz II Men, you've got Ella May, and you've got Charlie Wilson, Uncle Charlie. Like, that's not going to be a cheap ticket. Not for all those people to get paid and all their entourages and everything, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking, he doesn't have a ton of actual, like almost all the seats that are left are like verified resale, which I hate. But even for him, wow, this is kind of crazy. Is this right? Yeah. So like, Oh, these are terrible. Okay. So here's how expensive these tickets are. So you're like direct side view of the stage.
Nope.
Up at the top.
Nope.
120.
Wow.
Man, that's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you want to, right. And if you want to like, oh, wow. So like, yeah. So like the section where I'm sitting for Drake, my Drake tickets were 89 each. He has okay. Like one or two left in this section. 150. So I wonder who's going with him on the Boston show. I didn't see that one, but that's a lot of money, man. That's tough. I would see Bruno, not for 150 for up top. That's tough. Ticket prices, man, they have exploded.
Yes, that's what the money is.
What's
that's
killer?
360 deals.
What's killer is this whole like the VIP packages and what Ticketmaster calls the platinum seats.
Mm-hmm.
They just cordon off entire like areas that used to be like expensive, but like, okay. Like, you know what I mean? Like when I saw the Yeezus tour, I paid 160 a seat. However, I was also lower level, one third of the way up.
Yeah.
Right. Like not all the way on the side of the stage, but just like basically, cause he had that long, like walkway that came out for that.
Uh-huh.
I was right where that walkway was like just high enough to see everything. Like it was great seats. So I was like, yeah, 160 a seat for that. I splurged, but I loved it. Like,
yeah.
Now 160.
You might get the lower upper level.
Maybe. And you're going to be in the corner.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to be in the corner.
Nobody wants to be in the corner.
So, yeah. So, I mean, the thing I'll say is I think Bruno can get away with those ticket prices for the most part. He's that famous. I don't think losing Cardi B is going to hurt him that much because, I mean, if anything, I think Cardi's almost gotten more famous. Like, I feel like it almost would have been not quite a deal, but like he almost could have charged more if she really was going to be on the tour. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
But ticket prices, man. Oof.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Yeah, it's t-shirts and ticket sales. But that's funny because that's how indie artists make money.
Right.
Touring and merch. And that is now the model for major labels. But let's talk about Nicki because Nicki, the biggest takeaway for me with this Nicki album is they are pulling out every single stop you can think of.
Including stops I didn't even think were possible.
Exactly.
So now what was it? I think like Amazon did a deal with Lady Gaga like 5 or even 10 years ago. I can't remember.
I remember that. Yeah.
Where it was it like $3 or 99 cents? It was some outrageously cheap price for the album.
Yep. I want to say it was $3, but it might have been 99 cents. But yes.
It was something crazy.
Yes.
So what Nicki put up on her online store today, did you see this?
No, I didn't.
Buy a poster.
Oh, I did see that. Yes.
And you get the album for $5. $5.
$5. Poster, my G.
So if you're a Nicki, if you're like a Nicki fan, that's going to get you in the door, right? But they are pulling out all the stops. And why are they pulling out all the stops? It's because at least at the current pace, it looks like she might not debut at number one, which, you know, maybe not the end of the world, right? She's going to make all, because truthfully, like, pulling out all the stops for an extra 15,000 worth of sales, like, how much is that going to matter in the long run, right? She's going to make all her money off this tour and merch and deals and everything else, right? But she is somebody who raps about being on top.
And she's very number heavy. She's always posting.
A little 50 Cent-ish.
Yeah, always posting about records that she's broken. She's got to chill with the Aretha Franklin, I broke all her records thing, because that's just, yeah, that's too much, especially given now. Yeah, she's very heavy on, I broke this record, this record's number four, this record's number three, this record's top 10, this record's number one. I'm sorry, you also, I'm on her website right now. If you buy the poster, not only do you get the album, you get 3 free months of Tidal.
Wow.
And she just did a crown with Tidal last night.
And then in a move that
God.
What?
I'm just on her website. All of her merch comes with an album.
Yeah,
so she's,
all of it.
She's got, first of all, $15 t-shirts are crazy. If merch was $15, I would run far as I could from it. So she's got Nicki and 6ix9ine shirts. We'll get to that. Nicki and 6ix9ine shirts, Tekashi shirts, and all of them include the album.
These are the Just Don shirts, right?
There's also, no, that was just the Nicki and 6ix9ine shirts are just that, but she's got some Just Don shirts, which is crazy because Just Don stuff is at least $200.
Right.
Like $500 shorts. You know you're paying like a premium for Just Don. So for him to, like, $35 shirts, that's interesting. So she's got vinyl and signed CDs for $14. That alone has to be 20.
They're really, really trying to get those numbers up.
Oh, a postcard too.
And the reason why is because it looks like she might get beat by Travis Scott's second week, which is an absurd thing to say.
That's crazy.
But the other thing that she has done, which we are now in this era of tweaking albums, right?
Doc.
What?
Listen, man, a $25 necklace.
Yeah.
No, don't yeah me. It's a gold plate for $25.
You think she's taking a loss?
No, I just don't want to wear a $25 gold chain. I value my neck. I'm not gonna do it. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. What is she doing?
She has done. I can't. You have to tell. I cannot remember when somebody has halfway into the first week decided to add a song to an album.
I feel like it's happened before.
Has it?
I feel like it has.
Because Kanye tweaked, but like she didn't just like add a new song that no one had ever heard of because she finally got the sample cleared. No, no. She went, and hopefully Tekashi got a nice little, hopefully 6ix9ine has a nice little chunk of change, or maybe it's placement on the tour, or who knows what he got out of it.
He's on the tour. He's right. On the tour. However.
But.
You know Tekashi spent I won't say this. Do you think Tekashi spent a nice chunk of change getting that Nicki Minaj feature?
Oh, that's
what label is behind him, first of all? Because it feels like she's the major heavyweight artist, and she's doing a song with the new guy, with the young up and comer. And under most circumstances, he would have paid a hefty price for that.
But he's not signed to anybody.
That's a lie. That is a lie. You know he signed to somebody. Don't do that.
Well, you think Murder Beats just gave away just giving him cheap beats?
Exactly. He's Mindy. Get out of my face. He's doing way too much to not be signed by a major label.
You mean a guy who's already got 2 platinum plaques and 2 gold plaques isn't signed.
Right. Exactly. 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 And he was kind of cold out here too until this Nicki record came out. That's the other side of getting your fan base, the foundation of your fan base is on social media. That's the downside. Because social media, as we talked about earlier, because it moves so quick, like, you have to keep moving with social media. So if you don't do something in 2 weeks and your foundation is based off of people who move really fast, like, what is a month to Tekashi is like 6 months to somebody else.
Right.
He has to keep doing stuff. So he was kind of, when Fifi came out, a little crazy. He needed that record too.
Sure. Oh, he did. But now she needs it.
Now she needs it. Absolutely.
She really needs it. And it, I mean, it's not like it. So there have definitely been cases before where artists have taken, oh, I had this hit single and I put it on my album, but it was like planned, you know, like, so 20 years ago, right? Jermaine Dupri and Jay-Z, right? Money in a Thing.
Yes. Yes.
Right. Which then appear, there's a lot of songs in volume two that actually were from other albums, right? It's All Right. The Kid Capri record. There was like a handful, like, songs, you know, songs used to be on both a soundtrack and an album back when soundtracks were a thing. So it's not that.
Were you it?
Right. Yeah. Right. But it's the whole idea of this was 6ix9ine's song.
Yeah.
And halfway into her first week, it is now making its way onto her album on streaming platforms.
Where is it? Is it on Tidal?
It's on Tidal, and I haven't seen if it made it anywhere else yet. And I'm just like, huh?
Does she still have a deal with Tidal? She has to still have a deal with Tidal, right? Because when Tidal first launched, she was part of that whole...
One of those artist owners who are going to be empowered or whatever.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't get me started on Tidal.
Well, here's... How come people don't like Tidal?
I can't stand Tidal.
Why?
I don't like the app.
I can't stand is this your Apple?
No, I just don't like the app. I mean, I appreciate that they make it really easy to find out who like produced a record. That's nice. But no, I just don't like Tidal. I don't like the aesthetic. I don't like anything about it.
Do you like Spotify?
No, I don't like Spotify either.
Okay. Okay. All right, cool. Then I won't get on you.
But that's just me probably.
Yeah, I just noticed that people go extra hard on Tidal even from when people thought that it was $20 a month.
I mean, there's other reasons to go extra hard on Tidal, right? Like, they apparently aren't paying people, right? They are very bad about paying artists, which is ironic, right? They appear to be in serious money problems. They, like, they, you know, there's, well, then there's
why would you go? But why would you go in on Tidal for having money problems?
It's more about
what they stood for?
Yeah.
And how they came out?
Yeah, okay. A little bit. But anyway, right. So on Tidal, at least, this is now, Fefe is like,
Fifi.
I keep saying Fefe, even though I listen to the song and I know it's called Fifi.
You listen to the song?
Yeah, I like the song. I think Fifi's a dope record.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
You say, yeah, I'm good. Okay.
I mean, it appears that both 6ix9ine and Nicki are completely jacking their flow from, what's that new good music guy?
Valley.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that. I'm not familiar with his work, but I did see the video with the side-by-side comparisons where, you know, a lot of people seem to be jocking his style.
Yeah. No, I like it. I tend to like Murder Beats records. I think he has good beats. But anyway, so she's adding this to the album, which I'm kind of confused by. Like, at this point in the first week cycle, like, maybe there, because it's, you know, in the top five, there, it gets enough extra streams to push it over the top. I'm not really sure. Very confused by, I've never seen such a, like, I'm trying, I think the closest thing I could possibly see that is, imagine if, like, when Drake put out Scorpion, if the singles weren't hitting, and halfway through the first week, he added Look Alive.
Yeah. Yeah.
People would be like, huh? And even in that case, sorry, Black Boy, people listened to Look Alive for Tay Keith and Drake, right?
it's come through. You and you.
Yeah, no.
It's like the worst part. Like, you can do all the beat stutters your heart desires.
Yeah, they're trying. Yeah. They pull out all the tricks.
They try. But,
like, it would be like that. And so I was just, it's really amazing. Like, they are really, I mean, she really wants that number one.
Mm-hmm.
So that has been that. There's been a lot of, I don't know what you call it, drama, jibber jabber, call it whatever you want about.
Jibber jabber. You an official trapper?
You know, a particular ex of Nicki Minaj's. Nicki seems to be very
boy
hung up on, you know, accusations that she might have had some help writing.
Boy.
I mean, his name's in the credits. Like, credits are that credits.
Yesterday was a lot.
Oh, man.
That was a lot.
Airing out all the dirty laundry. Tyga got astray.
Hey, and I haven't said this on the show, but like, that beat for Taste is hard.
Yeah.
That beat is hard.
Tyga is quietly building a little career.
Tyga keeps a record.
What do you mean by that?
Like, Tyga doesn't have just one record in his stash. Like, Tyga consistently, Tyga's good for a hit record at least once a year. And people will overlook it because it's Tyga.
Hmm.
And that's unfortunate for him. But I think, honestly, I think this helped him. Because he's been so far removed from all the Kardashian stuff, all this stuff that he was once like attached to, he has seemingly like unhooked himself, and he's like, I just want to make music, and I just want to chill. And he has a record out that people like, and for Nicki to just hit him with that shot, and for his response to be what it was, to just be like, yeah, I got a hair plug,
right?
You know, here's the guy. Tell him I sent you. You know. That's kind of what you have to do nowadays. Just own it, make light of it, and move on.
Right.
As opposed to, you know, Safari, just a lot, man. Just a lot. Just a lot. Oh, a lot. Yeah.
So Nicki.
Yeah, Nicki, yes.
So
come back.
She was supposed to. So first she was going to delay the album by a week because we haven't even talked about the Nas song.
Yeah, okay, so let me just publicly apologize to you for not responding to your text when
that's
you
okay.
sent it to me. Because Doc sends me a text and
lots of laughing emojis.
And question marks.
Like, this is why she was gonna delay the album? Really? Man. So she had tweeted that she was trying to get a sample cleared. It was a Tracy Chapman single, and I think we joked about on the show last week. We hope it's not trap car, fast car over a trap beat. It's called Trap Car.
It was definitely going to be fast car with some nice for what drums.
You know.
go ahead and throw that in the Dropbox.
Sampletron 9000. Okay.
Super easy.
But so she was talking about it, but then like Funk Flex just goes and premieres it. So anyway, so hold on, we'll get there. So
yo, we in the streets right now. It's the craziest. Oh, speaking of Doc Beats, I found an old folder of yours, and I think I've told you this. I'm gonna say it again. Like the 300s are your best group of beats.
Don't do that.
I just did it.
That was like 500 beats ago.
I know, but the 300, the 300, they were just special. Like you just hit
I was in a vibe.
You're in a vibe.
I caught a wave, as the kids say.
Yes, and the fours are super underrated. I think some of those we need to revisit. Anyway.
Child of God comes from the fours.
Oh, man.
Anyway. That's how old that is, everybody. Anyway. So, Nicki, yeah. So she tweeted she was going to delay the album, but then she had a Beats One radio show Thursday night,
mm-hmm.
and announced, hey, guess what? Album's coming out tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
At noon.
Yeah.
So if you're wondering why I sound puzzled, albums are historically released at like midnight Eastern or even like a smidge before 11, mm-hmm. like between like 11:30 or 11 o'clock Eastern on Thursday night, but supposed to come out midnight Eastern And the idea is Billboard, they have their sort of week, like when they capture their chart, it runs from Friday to Thursday. So if you want to maximize Billboard, then you stick to that schedule. Now, why she decided, I mean, unless, you know, yes, I will throw in a cheap Mike Dean joke. I don't think Mike Dean was mixing this. This isn't like the Kanye Wyoming stuff where they were like finishing at the last minute. Oh, I mean, maybe they were finishing at the last minute. Who knows? But to say like, yeah, it comes out at noon. I don't understand that at all.
You just carve out your own space.
I guess. But the other thing I don't understand is like, if you're going to do that, there are two songs on here that she could have like put out to get attention for the album that would have had people talking and did not. So in general, I'm very confused by her rollout and what has been happening this first week. It doesn't make any sense to me at all.
Let me say this though. I think in her defense, I think the delays and everything was so crazy that it was just get the album, just get it out. Just get it out.
Go ahead.
She could have leaked the record. She could have played. I'm assuming one of the records that you're talking about was like Barbie Dreams.
Yeah.
Yeah, she could have. I think, but honestly, I think that the way that played was perfect for her.
Oh, it's true.
Because it's a big record, which was later done by Kim. You've got Bigot, you and Kim are at odds, and it's very much like the premise of the song is a lot of name dropping, right? So it's very sexual and it's a lot of names in there. It would have seemed really reachy and thirsty if that's the record you put out versus it's a record that you did. It's you're paying homage to a classic record. You could even skip Kim and say, this is a classic. This is a homage to Biggie. And then people just caught it. So I'm not mad at her not playing that record on her radio show and not leaking it early and just letting the people catch it. I think that worked out for her.
That's fair. But that Nas record. So she was talking about the Tracy Chapman record, saying there was a legend on it. Turns out.
I mean, Nas is a legend.
Oh, he is. That's not where I thought that was going at all. Man, that song is terrible. Terrible.
It's not. It's what I would expect. Honestly, it reminds me of a record like Allure Head Over Heels. Do you remember when Nas was getting like a lot of R&B looks?
Head Over Heels is...
No. I meant in theory, Head Over Heels. Okay. Like, it's an R&B record. It's bubblegum R&B. And it puts... I think that was like peak Esco, right?
Yeah,
this peak Esco. So I get what that is because I think with that record, that's a New York basement party record. That's not for us. That's not for us at all.
That's for nobody. That record is for nobody.
But we're gonna shut up. But we're gonna talk about the type of records that Nicki makes, and it's a critique that I'm saying, but it's a critique that we've said it on CRS for years, and this album is guilty of it again. So I don't know if there's anything else to talk about, but I'm ready to talk about this album.
I think we should talk about the album. So we start off with Ganja Burns, produced by... what? Do I say that funny?
No. Just the fact that your intro is called Ganja Burns is just...
Full disclosure, I don't think this is... this is a weird song to open an album with.
100%.
But I went and listened to the rest of the album, and I had a hard time coming up with a song that was good to open the album with, actually. She doesn't really have an intro here.
Hard White. Oh man, here you go.
Ganja Burns produced by Jay Reed, who is the producer that she assigned. He's got like a ton of tracks over. He's the guy who did Barbie Tings and Chun Li. And he, like I said, he's got other songs on here.
Barbie Tings.
I don't really understand the video for this at all. I do my research. The video has like an Egyptian theme, but this is like a Caribbean jams rap pop song. Not really sure what's going on there, but okay. I can't say I particularly like this song, but I think I kind of get it. Like, I get what they're going for. It's a really strange placement on the track. I don't really love the chorus. The guitars are not my thing, but like, they're trying to do that kind of Nicki pop thing without going too pop.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's all right, I guess. This is not for me. I don't know. What'd you think about Gunja Burns?
Yeah, so, oh man, I just drew another blank. I need to eat. I'm hungry. Yeah, this is a really weird record to open up with. This is one of the records that I felt like they were holding on to for a while. Because I think when Drake started doing Caribbean jams, I think Nicki was like, yes.
Right.
Like, I'm Trini, so I can do this. I can do this all day. I can do this with my eyes closed. And instead of, and again, Nicki is one of those artists who came in that really awkward era of like the blogs were there and the labels really didn't know what to do with indie or with, you know, with these, it wasn't SoundCloud rappers back then, but like there was a lot, but she has that old school mentality of you need an album, you go away, you come back. Like if she would have put this out as a single by herself a year ago, this would have had a completely different response. But I think the Caribbean jams wave is over. So to me, this sounds dated.
Yeah, I mean, like, Nicki really should have come out in 2016. Like, but anyway, yeah, I get it. Feels kind of dated.
Yeah.
So yeah. Next up, we've got Majesty featuring Eminem and Labyrinth, produced by Labyrinth and Eminem.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about this song?
Why do you always ask me?
I just sat there and I thought to myself, you know what? I've been hogging this show. I always like go Shut through up. My notes. And you I was like, I'm going to give Armand this one.
You are a liar. Don't do that.
All right. You want me to go first?
You never ask me. No, you never ask me what I think about a song when it's good. You never ask me. You always go first when you really like the record. Or if you're whatever on it. But if it's a record that is absolute trash, you always make me go first. Yo, this, all I'm gonna say is this. This comes from this is the Eminem stimulus package. This is clearly an Eminem stimulus package record. This is a record that should have been, what was the name of his last album?
That's all you have to say. What was it?
Yeah. Hmm? Okay, yeah. So Eminem's last album. This clearly comes from that. Those sessions, and Nicki just like plugged the verse in. I will say this though, Eminem's rapidy rap verse was enjoyable. I didn't hate it, but that's probably the only positive thing I can say. I hate those records that have the same key, dun 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 dun, like Broccoli, like all those records. I hate those records. I'm a chord guy. I love chords, so dun 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 dun, just feels like you're insulting my intelligence. So no, I'm good on this record. No, thank you.
Well, I'm going to say something that might be the surprise of the show.
You like this record?
I like this song, and okay. I like Eminem on it.
Okay. I'm shocked you like this song, but okay.
Which is why, as you were sitting there telling me how, I was just like, okay.
All right, you got it.
No, it's okay. I think the beat works. I think the chorus is kind of different and works. I wouldn't want to hear like a whole album's worth of songs like that, but for this little thing, it's fine. I think Nicki's good on this. And I actually think Eminem kind of works on this, even if he is like still like doing that thing where he's like, look how fast I can rap. Like, I think it works better here than I think it normally does for him. I don't know. Maybe because it's not like, I bet if you like pluck this out and put this on his album with a bunch of songs that kind of sound similar, maybe I wouldn't feel the same way, but
yeah,
outside of that context, I think it kind of works. And I think the beat switch at the end of the song works too, even if it doesn't fit in with the rest of the song. It's kind of like a little add-on, which she does a number of times on this album, actually. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I really like the little part at the end too, so I actually kind of like Majesty.
Okay. All right.
I know. It's the surprise of the show.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Barbie Dreams.
Yeah.
It's got like three producers, which I'm confused by. Maybe the end. Produced by Mel and Mus and Ringo. Obviously a remake of Dreams by Big.
Sure.
We talked about it a little bit. It's been the subject of a lot of conversation since the album dropped. You and I talked about this a little bit briefly. Was it via Twitter or was it via text? I can't remember.
Probably text.
I think people. There was this whole thing of, oh, Nicki's getting shots in at these people and that, you know, all that stuff. I went back and listened to Dreams, right? Because I wanted to make sure I wasn't just like viewing through nostalgia. Couple things in there that are over the line.
Bruh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's ugly.
It is a little ugly.
No pun intended.
Mm-hmm. Super ugly. But
oh man.
I think the thing that was the biggest difference for me, like
I'm pretty sure, right?
Big didn't have any pre-existing relationships with anybody he talks about in that song.
Right, sure.
Regardless of how bad some of that stuff is or how dope some of the lines may or may not have been, like, it was all very clearly a dream, right? It was fantasy, it was hypothetical, right?
Mm-hmm. Hypothetical, yes.
We know that that's not exactly the case for everybody on this.
Right.
Which is why the shot at Meek Mill hits particularly hard. I heard that and I was like, oh, it just felt personal in a way that nothing else that she has said about the whole Meek experience has. Like one of those jokes that is like, it's too funny because it's a little too real.
Yeah. Okay. So did you watch her interview with Flex? Sure you
did. No, do you think I can sit through a Funk Flex interview with Nicki Minaj?
I really tried. I got about 10 minutes in and Nicki said like four words. Flex was talking the whole time and I was like, I'm good. But I guess she talks about him quite a bit in the interview. It felt a little. One thing I've looked at when I've just seen clips of Nicki's interviews where she's talked about Cardi and Kim and Meek and very, very passive aggressive, very, very manipulative. Like she just gives that off. And so she could say something and then say, oh, no, it's all love. Like I mess with everybody. The tweet that she sent, if I drop them on the record, it's because I like them. And I'm like, you had a real bad breakup with Meek that was public.
Yeah.
And last time you heard Meek talk about her, he was very like, don't ask me about Nicki. I'm done with that. That chapter's over. Right. He was very like adamant and matter of fact, like, don't talk about her. So honestly, I felt like the Drake jab was a little.
Drake jab was a little hard. The Young Thug part just felt so out of context, out of pocket for, if you think about who Nicki's fans are, if you think about where we're at in 2018, like, really? You want to talk about, why don't you just, I mean, if you weren't like, if you weren't signed to Wayne, what are you going to, you going to make a comment about how Wayne kissed Baby back in like 2000, whatever? Like, it felt like a very retrograde kind of diss. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Especially coming from Nicki.
Yeah, that's a good point with her fan base. Yep. Yep. I agree.
The DJ Khaled line, I was just like, oh.
Yeah, the Khaled line was like, that's a shot.
Okay.
That was a shot. I mean, because he caught a lot of backlash for that. And I don't know if he ever explained himself, apologized. Like that was just one of those things that went away because social media moved so fast.
Right.
I don't remember that really having a whole lot of resolve.
Yeah.
So that felt like, oh, you really, and you haven't really seen Nicki with Khaled since that came out. You know, and Nicki was on quite a few, you know, Khaled's records. So I don't know. But I agree with you though. It was a little, some of it was a lot.
Yeah.
But I'll say another beat switch.
Yeah.
And this beat switch is hard.
It is. This
I like it.
I would rather hear this than some of the records on the album.
Yep. Yep.
Like,
yep.
Again, just spin this off into another song. You might need another move. Like, the problem is like, this is a dope record, but like, it also doesn't have a second like thing to it. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
I could, if this is 3 minutes long, maybe it gets repetitive, but it's really dope for what it is. I wonder how many people don't even get to it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Nicki's problem. Well, I'll wait. That pretty much just spoils how I feel about the album. Okay. But yeah, I do. I like the Dreams is whatever. It's an interesting first listen. It's not something I'm going to listen to any more times than I already have. But the switch at the end is really dope.
Next up, we get Rich Sex featuring Lil Wayne.
Skip.
Produced by Big Juice and Jay Reid, her producer. We've talked about this before. It's still pretty dumb, and I've got nothing else to say about it.
Yep.
Okay. Hard White, produced by Boy Wonder and Illmind. This is pretty weak beat for Boy Wonder and Illmind.
I agree with that. I feel like these drums, for somebody like Illmind who sells drums and whose whole shtick is drums, these drums really bother me because they're really mediocre.
I wonder if the Illmind contribution to this is a la the Frank Dukes contributions you see where he went and created a custom thing for Boy Wonder to sample. I like the tempo on this, and I think Nicki's rapping on this is fine, but the hook is atrocious.
Yeah, it's weird. One thing I noticed with this is that it's weird when rappers who clearly enunciate when they rap, like mumble on purpose.
Yeah,
it's weird. It doesn't sound right.
Mm. Anything else about Hardwired?
I agree with you, but a lot of people like this record I've seen.
Interesting. Huh. I think people like when Nicki's rapping up tempo.
That's the problem with this album and with every other Nicki Minaj album. Like, Starships was a fluke. It was something that she didn't go out of her way to say, this is the pop record that I'm going to do. It is a record that she did. Maybe it was a pop record. Like, they weren't pushing this record. Like, Taylor Swift caught it, put the Taylor Swift magic on it, the Taylor Swift dust on it, and it blew up. And ever since then, similar to Rick Ross with BMF, like, she reverted from what her fan base wanted, and now she's chasing these pop records. And it's like, no, do stuff like this. There's a couple of records that are yes, this is the Nicki Minaj that clearly people want and that's actually like dope. And just keep doing that, because honestly, when you argue, why am I ranting like this? I just caught myself. Why am I ranting like this? So when she
caught a wave, man.
I caught a wave. Shut up. when she complains and she talks about not writing her lyrics and all this other stuff, like, you're not writing. Like, Bed is a record that was given to you. Like, Bed was a record, Ganja Burn. Like, these are records, there are records on this album that are clearly like, okay, we're going in a pop direction. But when you talk about not writing your lyrics, Hard White is a record that justifies that, because you're rapping. And that's what people have been asking you to do for the last 5 years, and you won't do it. She's trying to please too many people, and the people that she's really trying to go out of her way to please, they really don't want her to make as many of those types of records that she thinks that they want. They want her to rap too. So that's frustrating about Nicki, because Nicki really shouldn't be where she is right now. She's really her own worst enemy. And Starships is to blame. Has a huge part of the blame.
Let's talk about Bed featuring Ariana Grande.
All right, I already just talked about it. Another record that would have been better if it would have came out a year ago.
I like this as a pop song for her and Ariana. Like, I think this is fine.
It's not trash. It just sounds dated.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's just not hitting. Like, I think, like, they sort of assumed it might.
Absolutely.
You know, I think it's as a pop song, it's well produced. It doesn't, like, in terms of Nicki making pop records, I think that's... Sure, like, if this is the direction she's gonna go in, like, this is fine. But you're right, last year would have been the year for this.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
There was one thing I want to say. You were sort of talking about Hard White. There was two things I sort of let slide, and I didn't. When you said Taylor Swift magic, I imagined Taylor Swift on stage with Nicki, like David Copperfield on stage with Rick Ross, right? Which is great.
Oh man, I need to watch that video. I missed that moment.
The other thing is that the ironic thing is R&B singers have gotten harder and harder.
Yes, they have.
And it's like, Nicki, it's right there. Like, hip hop is getting darker again.
Yeah,
you can make hard records that go that because of streaming end up on Billboard. You don't have to make Bet.
Absolutely.
If you want to, fine. But like, yeah. But it's going to end up that Chun-Li is going to be a bigger record for her than Bet.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah.
You watching the video?
No, video. The title of it is hilarious. Video. Rick Ross brings out magician David Copperfield during Black Magic performance! Exclamation point. Is hilarious. I cannot wait to watch that video. It's going on my IG stories after the show's over. But let's finish.
So next up, we've got Thought I Knew You featuring The Weeknd.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, produced by Jay Reid, her producer. I am not a fan of this beat at all. I do not like this like flute synth thing that they got going on. I think this is like pretty typical Abel. Like he sounds exactly like how he sounds on everything, but I'm 100% cool. I can totally skip this.
Yeah. I agree.
Okay. Really getting in depth here on Clock Radio Speakers.
No, it's fine. I mean, yeah. Some records just don't require. I'm not about to go into detail about a song that's whatever.
Run and Hide, produced by Rex Kudo and Seven Thomas. This is a really, really short song, but I kind of like the beat on this. But again, this feels like something that's not really a fully fleshed out idea. Like she had this, she liked it, didn't finish it, and put it on the album anyway.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe that's where we're at. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe that'll be like next week's revision of the album. She's like, hey, guess what? I finished Run and Hide. I'll be like, all right.
Yeah, I'm cool. I'm cool on this record.
I want to talk about Chun Sui, which is the dumbest title.
That's the dumbest title in the world, yo.
Featuring Sui Lee, surprise.
Yeah.
Produced by Metro Boomin.
Okay.
So let me talk about what I think works on this.
Okay.
I think Metro's beat knocks.
Mm-hmm.
I think the bass on this on the last part of the song is completely ridiculous.
Okay.
And I like Nicki on this.
Okay.
I don't know what your man Sui Lee is doing there.
Yeah, I have not heard Nicki's part because I can't get past Sway's part.
It's like so bad, it's almost good.
Nah.
It kind of sounds like he's going through puberty. Like on the track. His voice is cracking at times, I swear. Like he's really getting, we like falsettos on this show, right?
No, you like falsetto. I hate that song.
No, falsettos in general.
Oh.
Like Pharrell.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
But this is... In the words of the one and only Randy Jackson, it's pitchy, dog. How do you feel about Chun Sui?
I'm delusionally tired because that's hilarious. I'm not crazy about it. This is a record that this was like the this is another reason why Nicki comes from that old school is because like where you have Travis, who's not even listing his features, she wants people to get excited.
It in the title of the song.
Yeah, she like wants you to know that Sui Lee is on the record, and I feel like that song is for that reason. It's for the hey, Nicki and Sui Lee did a record together, not because it's good, but it's again the moment. It's the idea of it.
I know. I think I kind of like this record, and I 100% would tell you that if I heard the song. And I was even mildly intoxicated, I would 100% try to sing along to whatever Sui Lee is singing on this. So,
see. All right.
I get it.
Yeah. Okay.
So then we get to Chun-Li. What does Chun Sui have to be just before Chun-Li? Anyway.
Right, yeah.
Produced by Jay Reid again. We already talked about this before, but like, how do you feel about this now in the context of the album?
I love it. It's way better on the album.
It really works in the context of the album.
Yep, because there's so many pop records and you want Nicki to rap, when she's rapping on these, as you said, harder, darker beats, they stick out like in the best way possible. So now Chun-Li is actually, I'm shocked that Chun-Li has had the legs that it has, but I'm happy for that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the lesson is, right, like for Nicki is that actually she can just rap as aggressively as she wants to rap.
Just rap, dog.
And she's famous enough that she'll be just fine.
Yeah, just rap. Even if you sneak a Laura Bancroft in there, that's fine.
At some point, we need to talk about the questionable lines all over this album.
Boy, Nicki, I really thought that Nicki was dating Nas so that Nas could write on her album.
Oof.
And that clearly was not the case. Or Nas gave Nicki his best rhymes, and that's why his lyrical performance on Nasir was so mediocre. He was just all out of steam. Couldn't give Bonjour that swift kick that it needed. So they're just like, turn the sample up. Drown me out.
Can Tony Williams sing some more?
God, yo.
Please.
I want to say what's up to Tony Williams. Oh, man. I really messed up. I lived in Japan at the time, but I really messed up not hearing We Major live. Man. Anyway.
So next up we get LLC, produced by, and I feel old because I don't know any of the, how do I, the person who reads the credits morning, I've never heard these producers. Soon, DJ West, and JFK. There's a producer named JFK, which, okay.
You're a jerk.
I'm totally a jerk. Says the guy, says the white guy whose name is Doc Beats. Actually, it's just Doc. But anyway.
It really is just Doc.
It really is. You know what? This song's all right. I don't know. I kind of haven't made my mind up about the song. So
I agree. Mm-hmm.
Like, the beat is meant to be kind of like, it's not quite like Roman's Revenge or Come On A Call. Like, it's, but it is meant to be like a song that gets Nicki to like a high energy.
Mm-hmm.
Which it does, which works, which I totally get why like hardcore Nicki fans like this song.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay on. I don't know. Like, honestly, like, I'm not somebody, like, when Nicki is rapping about how rich he is or like whatever, like, I tune out. I just don't care. I do that for most rappers, though, when they rap about how rich they are. But I get it. This one, I just haven't gotten there yet. I don't know if I will, but I totally understand why it's on the album. I totally understand why her hardcore fans like it.
Yeah, this is absolutely. Yep. This isn't for us.
Oh, man, you're going to love this. I'm going a little slightly out of order here, but so I just realized. So there's a Target exclusive version that's going to come out. It's going to be the physical version, right? Uh-oh. Barbie Tings is one of the bonus tracks. The other one is called Regular Degular.
Wow. Are you serious?
Regular Degular.
But you know, that was Cardi's shtick.
What was that?
Cardi said that she was a regular, degular, schmegular girl from the Bronx.
Oh, you're right. Oh, man. Cardi better be on that record.
Whoa.
Mm. Well.
That's crazy.
All right. So let's move on to Good Form. I'm sorry. How do you feel about LLC?
Same as you. That's a Nicki fan base record. It's not for me, but I get why her fan base likes it.
And then they keep the energy going on Good Form.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I would have never guessed that this was Mike Will, like, and his Got Plus.
Oh, come on, man. This is straight up from the school of Manny Fresh.
Yeah. That retro Mike orchestra hit.
Yeah, Mike Will can do those.
Again, faster tempo. I think it 100% serves her well. She's doing her Nicki thing. I totally get why it's on the album. I think people really like it. I'm fine with this. You're right. It is right out of the Manny. I just realized it's right out of the Manny Fresh school.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to hear the song differently, but I totally get it. I think Good Form totally belongs on a Nicki Minaj album. I think like there's other records she could have like cut and put this a little higher. Like the sequencing on this leaves a lot to be desired, but like I get Good Form. I totally get it.
I know you can't have this conversation because I know how you feel about it, but we have to have a Manny Fresh conversation before it's all said and done. One of the greatest ever.
Yes. We're gonna leave that for a different
time. Nah, man. I'm thinking about all of the like what puts Primo, Havoc, like they're in the same boat. They are producers who have produced entire discographies for groups. They have classics, like they've done stuff for other artists. Like it's the same tier. So why does a Premier get that nod, but Manny Fresh doesn't? I can't think of any other reason than he's from the South.
Are you're we really going here right now?
You're not the person to answer that question.
I mean, the answer is just because, like, the beats weren't as good. But I hear you. Like,
and that concludes. No, I'm joking.
All right.
No, the beats. But, oh, I'm sorry. Good Form. Actually, I think Good Form is fire. I like it. I like it. But again, I come from that school of those Manny Fresh.
Right.
Like Trigger Man type beats. So I'm all for it. Like I said that when Nice for What came out. Like,
she could just get Manny on the remix.
Yeah, you should. Somebody needs to cut Manny a check.
Call Manny up. She does the video in New Orleans.
Nah, Drake just did the Nice for What video in New Orleans. He can't do that. She can't do that.
She apparently has a Target bonus track called Regular Degular. So anything's on the table right now.
You're right.
Took Fifi.
She's grasping for air. You're right. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you got to throw Manny a check. I need Manny doing his little Winnie the Pooh bop in a video somewhere. I need that.
We need to get the PT Cruiser with the wood grain.
My God, with the two-tone, the paint that like change colors as the sun hit.
Yep.
Oh my God. Yo, get your roll on having one a PT Cruiser for about 6 months.
Have you ever driven a PT Cruiser?
No.
You're trash.
Color me shocked.
I had a car that got into an accident, had to go into the body shop for like 3 weeks, and they gave me a PT Cruiser.
Oh boy.
You imagine me driving around.
No, not at all. And just to let y'all know, I don't know if y'all know this, but Doc is, how tall are you, about 6'2"?
No, I'm just 6 foot.
6 foot? Okay, you're still tall. That in a PT Cruiser? That height in a PT Cruiser? Nah.
So let's talk about Nip Tuck, produced by J. Mike Kane Beats. This is totally skippable for me.
Yeah, I'm good on this one.
Yeah.
If
like Nicki's going to go R&B, I kind of want a different thing, and that's not it for me.
Yeah, I agree.
We get to Too Lit, Too Late interlude. It's an interlude.
Again, this is clearly an unfinished record that she liked, could not finish.
This is Jay Graham and Frank Dukes, but yeah, just didn't finish it. And I'm like, nah, I'm good.
Yep.
Come See About Me, produced by Circuit and Braid. Circuit is Dr. Luke's like right-hand person. So right out of that, she's worked with Dr. Luke and Circuit on a ton of her big pop tracks. And we get what's basically a pop ballad down to, like, listen to the snares on this record. This is not, there's nothing hip hop about this record at all. There's really not even anything R&B about this record. This is a pop ballad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nothing hip hop about this record at all. Agreed.
I mean, this is not for me. I'd be curious to see, like, do they try to push this? What's the reception for this? I'm not in on this, but it's also, like I said, not for me. I don't know. How do you feel about it?
No, same. Exact same.
I don't think it's – I think she's done songs like this, but better. What was the song she had off Pink Print at the end that had the pianos?
I don't know. More Than a Lie? That just sounds like a Nicki Minaj title. I don't know.
You're going to write the Nicki Minaj song generator? It's called Grand More Piano. Than a
Lie. Grand Piano. Okay, same thing.
More Than a Lie. Comes after Bed of Lies with Skylar Grey.
I knew it had something. I knew it was somewhere.
I went back and listened to Pink Print today.
You know, I remember when we reviewed it, we were very much like, huh.
There are some records on Pink Print. Want Some More is dope.
I don't remember what Want Some More is. Hold on. I need some yells. Dang, this album is an hour and 22 minutes. Interesting. Okay.
That's Jeremiah Zaytoven, Hitmaker, Metro Boomin.
Hitmaker, Young Bird. Okay, yeah. First, two things. Number one, Pink Print has my favorite Nicki Minaj record on it, which is Truffle Butter.
Truffle Butter. Which she put as a bonus track.
Bonus track. And then it caught fire and she was like, no, wait, it's on my album. Come back. And then, what was the other point I was going to make about Pink Print? I forgot. Dang it. Oh, well.
She has a habit of putting out.
Oh.
Go ahead.
She has a habit of putting out what?
I was going to say, like, Rich Sex and Only. What is it with her and like singles that she pushes that are just the trap. Most boring trap records sure. you've ever heard?
Agree.
I don't get it. She have a soft spot for him or something?
I don't know. But then she put out like The Night Is Still Young and...
Well, she put out... She stumbled into Feeling Myself and it was like, oh.
Yeah.
Pills and Potions came out and...
Pills and Potions was trash, yeah.
Yeah, the lead singles were, what, Pills and Potions, Bed of Lies, Only. Yeah, Feeling Myself. Yeah,
those three. And then Feeling Myself was a little down the line. And I think, yeah, a little down the line. Because she came, what Beyonce record did she jump on?
Anaconda, too. I forgot about Anaconda.
Anaconda, because we had friend of the show, Kelly Bakes, on the show. And she we talked about, Nicki basically making a porn for her first video and what that meant for women in entertainment industry.
You can catch that on clockreadyspeakers.com.
Absolutely. Great episode. Did you see the whole Jeremiah Tiana Taylor stuff today?
I did.
And this is the second time that this is the second time Jeremiah has been accused of being a diva by another major artist on tour.
What was the first time?
Party Next Door.
Interesting. It's too bad. I like Jeremiah.
Yeah, and remember that Billboard article that basically talked about him getting in his own way?
Hmm. Oh, yeah. Because for a long time, he was like, it's almost like he didn't want to be famous.
He was like really insecure and shy and reserved and introverted. And now all of a sudden, he's a diva.
More money, more problems. No. When in doubt, I just revert back to late 90s tropes. I mean, that's pretty much all I've got. No.
Terrible.
Yeah. Sir with Future, produced by Metro and Zaytoven.
I'm good.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Like after that pop song, she feels like she needs to go back to a harder sound. It's obviously like Metro on the drums and Zaytoven on the melody, but I'm just not really a fan. Like it knocks if you listen to it in a good system, and Future sounds like Future, but it's just not an A-grade Metro and Zaytoven beat, and I don't really need to hear Nicki on a Future like B grade record.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm good.
I agree.
Miami, produced by Murder Beats. I don't think this beat works well for her at all.
I forgot what this sounded like.
It's kind of, I don't know. Like sometimes Murder makes these beats that are like almost like the melody's kind of muted. Like this sounds like something that you would give Travis Scott, but you don't give this record to Nicki Minaj. I don't know. So it sounds kind of like a misplaced. I mean, I'm sure, Murder Beats is everywhere. He's on everyone's project right now. So I get it, but like, just not really, not a good match. Like, it's too bad too, because like, clearly, because he did Nice For What, right? So he could have gone into a different direction, but that's not what she wanted, and that's not what they made.
Yeah, it seems like Nice For What was like an anomaly for Murder Beats. Like, that's not really his bag.
Which like, is Fifi's interesting.
More his bag.
Right. It's interesting, right? Because I could totally, I'm surprised artists haven't been like, hey, so what else you got in the Nice For What bag?
Yeah, can you sample Drew Hill Tell Me and throw some Manny Fresh drums on it?
Sleeping in my bed. Just go back to.
Oh, my God.
Not the remix. Oh, the remix. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I mean, remix.
Sleeping in My Bed remix. One of the better 90s R&B remixes. Oh, see, that's a good definitive 15.
Ooh, R&B remixes. I'm down. Okay. I've been in my like slow jams vibe, super, super heavy. So yeah, I'm there. Nope, let's do it. We still got to do the 90s out.
The 90s one is almost too hard, but the R&B one, that's an interesting one.
That's an interesting
one. If we don't have any big albums coming out next week or two, that might have to be next up on the list.
All right.
And then we essentially end because the outro is just a continuation of the song, which I don't, whatever. Coco Chanel featuring Foxy Brown, produced by Jay Beats. How do you feel about this?
It's weird. Like, I hate the melody on the beat, but I don't hate the beat.
That's it's interesting.
Weird. Yeah, it's really weird.
I think this
weird.
Is hard.
Like, it's not, it's like, yeah, like, I agree. It's hard. Like, I'm trying.
New York City Radio is going to play this forever.
Well, they're not. They should, but they're not.
You don't think so? You think they've fully gone over? They're just going to play 6ix9ine all day?
Yes. Yeah. You don't hear those records that's like, all right, enough is going to play this at 5. Like, yeah. Or
5 years ago, this gets played, but every hour on the hour, but not now.
Absolutely. Yeah. And people have not, I've heard people kind of talk crazy about Foxy's verse. I like Foxy on here.
Yeah. I think Foxy sounds about as good as I might have expected. I mean, yep. Foxy came out 23 years ago.
Bruh. Yeah. That was the, I Shot You. That
I
was
Shot 19, You.
That's 95.
95.
Yeah.
She came out 23 years ago. Didn't she go deaf?
Bruh, dude.
Like, I feel like there's a long form article online about whatever happened to Foxy Brown that I'm either missed out or needs to be written.
Man, that Il Nana to the Fever. I just remember, like, she was giving mixtape DJs a lot of those records, and like a lot of them were really good, and it just never came out. I remember it leaked. I think the album leaked online. I don't think it was as good, but Open Book.
Open Book. Wow, man. I don't know. Broken Silence had some records.
Hold Broken on. Silence did have some records.
Now I'm going to go back and look at Broken Silence. Because that's what we do on Clock Radio Speakers.
That's what we do. I kind of want to play Open Book. Oh. It just sounds like our Armand Wake Up record, and that's fine.
Oh Yeah, it was dope.
Oh Yeah, it was fire.
See, there's some unfortunate 2001-ery happening here, though.
Go ahead.
BK Anthem. I used to love at the time, and I bet you that sounds terrible now.
You want me to play it?
Go ahead.
All right, hold up.
I grew up in the thoroughbred on BK. Big hat, everybody rocking DK. Gap was the first.
Oh, man.
People used to love that.
They did.
But Oh Yeah is dope. I feel like Fallen might be good. Tables Will Turn.
Tables Will Turn, yep.
Boy, that Candy record is really unfortunate.
Oh my God. That was when, again, that's when Pharrell was just giving people beats and telling them what to rap over. And because Pharrell was Pharrell, people were like, okay.
Yeah. Boy, whew.
Yeah. Rappers used to love saying, oh my God, being overwhelmed by the beat. I used to love this record.
Oh yeah.
That's when people were like, she had Get Off Me. Get Off Me was hard.
She had Stylin'.
She did have Stylin'. Yep. Stylin' was like a huge staple on the mixtapes. That's when people were saying that Jay was writing for her, like heavy, or Jay writing for her again. In 2000, because she was doing a lot of Jay mannerisms. But yeah, that very, very weird way to end the album with some shout outs to reggae artists.
Yeah, a little bit. I like Coco Chanel a lot. I feel like that's the kind of thing where, like, if she had done a release party for this in New York and they play that record, like the buzz she gets, because that's one of those songs that's going to sound great, really great when you see it on someone's Snapchat.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like she could have had a real buzz off that. But, like, even just in general, like, I really like Coco Chanel. I really like, I mean, like, it's an interesting place in the album because, like, to me, the album kind of, like, after Good Form, it's kind of like, just sort of, like, downhill from there for a little while. That's right. I made airplane noises. So, like, I'm trying to think how long. So, let me look. This album is 66 minutes long.
you know, it's not super long. Like, I would have definitely cut some stuff. I'm okay ending on Coco Chanel. I think it opens weird. I think it's kind of maybe not top heavy, but certainly first half heavy. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
It's I don't hate the album. It's not trash by any means. It's just my rant from earlier. It's just a glaring fact that Nicki needs to go back to what worked for her when she had what Cardi has now. Like, she had that believability and she had that connection with her fan base that was so strong. It just spilled into the pop world. And to your point, she doesn't have to make pop records because streaming is the way that it is now and records go viral and records take off the way that they do. She doesn't have to make these super poppy records because I don't think that pop radio is playing Nicki Minaj. And she doesn't need that to be successful. And I think because she has rested her laurels on success, that now that she's, oh, number one record, top 10 record, blah, blah, blah. Like, she's hyped herself up so much that now that Queen looks to, you know, be having the success it has. I mean, and to Nicki's defense, I mean, nobody's selling records. But right. The fact that she's dropping right after Travis went gold in a week is like making her 150 look way worse.
Yeah.
It's weird. Like, so nobody's selling records, but the same expectations for people to sell records is still there. And maybe it's because Drake did what he, I mean, granted,
700.
He finagled the system, but he still did 700. And I think people put Drake and Nicki together and Drake is on a completely different stratosphere than Nicki. But like, it's Nicki's fault. It's Nicki's fault. Nicki takes herself too serious. She's done everything that Drake has done, Nicki does not do. So Drake does not take himself serious, at least publicly. So he will allow himself to get made fun of. And then even to when we talked about the Hotline Bling video, like, he played into it and knew that, and you said this, he knew that he's going to get a bunch of GIFs made about him, a bunch of memes. Like, he knew that was going to happen making that video, and it worked for him. Versus, I don't even know if Nicki would like really embrace that. You know what I'm saying? If somebody was to make fun of her career and her artistry, and she goes so hard, like, it's to her detriment, where she got on being very playful and got on like just really relating to her fan base. And then even again, to your point, another point that you made about not being sensitive towards her fan base and kind of, you know, the Young Thug joint on Barbie Dreams. Like, it just seems like there's a lack of awareness by her team, by her, and it's only affecting her, and it's only going to get worse, which sucks because Queen isn't a trash album at all. But like we discussed earlier, there's very little discussion on the music right now. It's all in the theatrics.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think I was expecting something maybe slightly different based off of the fact that she kind of came out the gate with Chun-Li and Barbie Tings, right? But then the album kind of got pushed back initially. And I wonder if that's maybe when we got some of these other songs, right, that were a bit more pop focused. Yeah, I don't know. I don't disagree with anything you said. I think hip hop has, like, her and Drake famously sort of were like artists who went back and forth between rapping and singing back when that was a novelty, and it's not a novelty anymore.
Right, right. So everybody does it. Yeah,
everybody does it.
Actually, rap, and I said this, like, rappity rap was going to come back in style this year. Rappity rap is a novelty. Spit.
Yeah, but also, like, what she has, I mean, I think, I don't know, what I don't hear from her a ton. So remember when Drake did Tuesday, right? Would you call that rapping or singing?
It's singing.
But it's like sing rapping.
Mm-hmm. No, that's singing.
That's singing?
Yeah, that's singing.
There are records, though, where he is a bit more fluid between the two. And of course, there's this whole new generation who does all of it, right?
Absolutely. Yep.
Nicki doesn't really do that.
She goes out of her way to sing.
Like, when she's singing.
She's singing.
And I don't know. I mean, maybe that's just not Nicki's style, but it almost might be a thing where like Nicki had to pave the way so others could kind of do a thing, right? Like on Cardi's album, there's a couple times where she sings and it's fine because Nicki paved the way. That's what stinks about being early, about being first, right? And then everybody mm-hmm. catches up with you. And then what are you going to do? What's your next move?
You know, what sucked for, and even I remember when people really hated Cardi singing on Be Careful. Mm. I thought it was perfect.
Yeah, I thought it was great too.
Yeah, people are weird. People are trash. But yeah, I don't know why I just randomly thought of that.
Anything else you want to say about Nicki?
I think we're good, man. We've done a lot.
Well, we got a couple quick hits because we sort of started with the albums and then gets the quick stuff. So real quick, we're gonna go rapid fire. All right.
All right, let's do it.
Why did J. Cole freestyle over Uchi Wally?
Why did J. Cole ask people for beats only to rap over Uchi Wally? Why is J. Cole telling me to read a book over Uchi Wally? Why is J. Cole saying, what did he say? Hold on. What's the line? Hold up. What's the line? Man, hold on. Come on, man. I can't even. What do you say?
You're
like,
so I'm mad you can't even.
I'm good at math, like Asians or something like that. I'm like, man, get out of my face, man. And then people were killing him for it. And then, of course, J. Cole fans were like, he explained the bar. And like, shut up, man.
He explained the bar.
He explained it. You shouldn't have to explain if you say I'm good at math like Asians. Like, man, go somewhere. You're also heating up like leftover lasagna. You're also the poop and you can't out fart me. Right? Right? Okay. All right. I'm sorry. I sound like a hater, but it's just really fun to like make fun of J. Cole lines. It's funny. I don't know, but is he coming out with a mixtape or something? That would actually be smart for him.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, because so he theoretically has something called The Fall Off, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't heard him. I mean, he just came out with KOD. He's fine.
He's on tour right now.
He doesn't need to do anything. Let everybody else get all their albums out for the year. He's fine. He doesn't need to come out. No, he's good.
Okay.
He's typically somebody who goes like 2 years between releases, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think he's fine. Did you like the freestyle?
Yeah, I actually think aside from that line, I actually think he did his thing.
I'm still trying to understand why Uchi Wally. Yeah, I don't know. Uchi Wally is not where I would go for, yeah, let's hear a freestyle over that.
Yeah.
That beat has not aged well. It's 2000, right?
Maybe, I think 2000, maybe 2001 at the latest, but yeah.
Because that's off the QB's Finest
QB's
album?
Finest, yep.
That's 2000.
I like Face. Face.
QB's Finest project has some songs.
Has some joints. Self-Conscious, Power Raps. Yeah, QB's Finest has, yeah, Money, the Alchemist record. That's 2000's Alchemist, yo.
Self-Conscious is amazing.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I think that's it's not. It's not the last great Prodigy record.
No, because his album came out right after that.
No, maybe
same
right
time.
Before. Okay, then, I was Return of the Mac.
Yeah, I think Return of the Mac, I don't know. I always felt like that got a little bit more love than it should. I don't know. Return of the Mac was good, but it was.
Nickel and a Nail.
Give me P. Brooke the Switch any day.
Stuck on You?
That I don't love that beat.
Woo! Boy. All right, keep going. What else?
Your boy Tyler.
What about him?
He put out a video for See You Again.
Oh yeah, we could have talked about that when we talked about his festival. Right. I did not see the video.
Did you read the GQ cover story?
I did. I read most of it. I got wrapped up at work and didn't finish it.
Anything interesting there for you?
I don't remember because it was like 2 weeks ago when he did it. But what about for you?
Tyler said, you know, putting out a video for See You Again right now, really interesting.
Yeah, I thought about it. I mean, as somebody who's putting out a video for an album that came out 6 months ago, I appreciated it.
You're like, it's okay.
Yeah, it made me like sort of be okay with, you know, putting out a stuff so far. But I mean, the way albums are nowadays, like you don't have to front load all of your stuff. you know, people will watch your video and then go back and be like, oh yeah, that, because people don't really process music anymore. They're like, oh yeah, Flower Boy was dope. Let me go back and listen to that again.
Right.
Get your streams up. So, you know, I'm expecting that to happen with Even If I Lose. Like, the video is so great. I think people will run back and be like, oh yeah, Armand did drop an album this year.
Man, if only we had something else we could put. I'm just kidding.
Look, man, the way school is going right now, I might take a semester off and like set up a tour and put out an album and like just do a whole bunch of stuff, because school is on my nerves. My school is on my nerves. Mm.
The GQ cover story was really just interesting. Like, Tyler is so comfortable in his own skin right now.
I'm glad he's gotten to that place.
Like, he's really like, I don't know. I feel like music, like just career wise, like this is somebody who like he's at the top, like of what he's capable. Like, he still might be able to get to like a higher level, but like I feel like whatever he puts out next, like he is like near the top of the list of like, I want to hear what he's working on. Like, he's in such a groove. He is like so comfortable in his own skin. Like, I just feel like he's gonna, I don't know, I feel like he can do almost anything right now.
I agree.
Let's see what else is going on. Kanye leaked out Ecstasy and nobody cared.
Listen, man, that shop is hard. Go ahead. Say that shop is hard. And yes, the only thing that people cared about was him admitting to wanting to sleep with his sister-in-law.
Kanye. Man. Sometimes when I think about Kanye's career, I try to figure out, like, at what point in the VH1 Behind the Music are we in right now? You know, this is 2018's just been a weird year for him, man.
I'm very curious to know if he can come back from this. I don't know if he can.
You think he might be done?
Man, just the way that people are just very whatever on him. And I think it's because Trump has a lot to do with that.
Sort of. I mean, I don't know. I still think that, like, honestly, like, music can cure a lot.
Sure. Good point.
Right. Like, I mean, we talked about 6ix9ine earlier on the show and we didn't talk once about how, you know.
Right. I mean, yeah. And same thing with XXX, right? Like, music, horrible things. And yeah, here right. We are.
I mean, R. Kelly ran out of excuses with people because he stopped making dope music. What he did was deplorable from day one.
Yeah. I mean, it's the Boondocks episode. It's R. Kelly.
Right. I mean, you could argue the same thing about MJ.
No, you can't, because he did not touch those kids.
The perception, though.
The perception.
When the music stops being amazing.
I'll agree with you there.
Spotlight gets a little harsher.
I agree with you there.
And in Kanye's case, when you think about in the grand scheme of what other artists have done, he didn't molest children. He has not murdered anybody. He has not raped a woman that we have ever heard an accusation of. Right? Like, what he has done is he has said some really dumb things. But honestly, like, the biggest crime is, like, his music isn't blowing people away anymore. And when you are at that height, even if you're making stuff that is good and has moments, once you come down, it's so hard. It's never the same.
I don't disagree with that.
I feel like talent lets people get away with a lot.
They do. It does.
Like, if you're an NBA player and you have a lot of drama surrounding you, if you're an all-star on the court, people will overlook a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But once you start aging into not an all-star, all of a sudden, the equation changes.
Absolutely.
Same thing for musicians.
Good point.
Your boys YG and Mac Miller respectively put out projects and we have not reviewed them on the show.
We have not.
I skimmed the Mac Miller.
Okay.
It sounded like sad Mac Miller on trap beats, which I was not interested in at all.
Okay.
I listened to the YG album.
Okay.
He's back with DJ Mustard.
Okay.
You know what the problem is?
What happened?
DJ Mustard is not 2014 DJ Mustard. He's doing something else, and the spark is not there. And so YG is suddenly just rapping on
whatever
beats.
DJ must have been.
Why at this point YG might be getting more buzz because of his fashion choices than his music. People talking about his outfits and aren't talking about a single.
Nah, so, Big Bang has a little. Big Bang's got a little buzz.
Little bit.
You play it when you first get to the club, you might hear it.
Mm. That's a 9 o'clock song.
Yeah, yeah, that's a 9:30 record. Absolutely. 9 o'clock song. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. I wanted to like the white, I can't think of the name of his first album with all the mustard beats on
Is it Still Brazy?
Nope, that was the last one.
Oh my God, people are killing us.
Yeah. My Crazy Life?
My Crazy Life.
My Crazy Life has some records.
I didn't love it the way everybody else did.
I liked it a lot. Because it was very, honestly, like, it was sort of like new age Daz Dillinger-y type beats.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right? Brought into the 21st century. And I was like, okay.
It was definitely what Kendrick kind of evolved to. And I think Nipsey took that ball and ran all the way with it.
And see, I'd much rather have My Crazy Life than it's the Nipsey stuff. I don't get the love for Nipsey's music, man. I don't get it.
I think that Nipsey gets a lot of credit for being smarter than what he really is. I think Nipsey's one of those people who surrounds himself with smart people. You look at his business decisions, like he's put on the appearance that he has made a lot of money off of whatever. But when you actually get him to sit down and like explain what he does, he talks around stuff like most rappers do, which is one of the reasons why I've stopped listening to interviews in 2018. A lot of people talk around stuff. And I don't have time for that.
And yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think if there's anything else really going on. I don't think so. Oh, Quavo put out 3 records. We can end on this real quick.
All right.
They're pretty generic.
That's what it felt like.
Really, really generic. I don't really know what he's doing right now. I was in the car. I played Driving with Marissa around. I think we went to lunch or something, and I played Lamb Talk. And she was like, "What is this song about?" And I was just like, "He's rapping about Lamborghini." She's like, "Really?" And the thing is, like, I don't know. It's such a lazy hook, and these beats all sound like, I don't know. I get the challenge, right? Which is that Quavo wants to have his voice be the dominating melody that you hear on a beat.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He wants to do all the things. He wants to have his ad libs. He wants to use the auto tune. He wants to go here and there. And so he tends to rap. You can tell when he's picking beats, they are beats where there's definitely trap drums and there is a synth of some kind, but it's a very like monotonous, like the beat doesn't provide much of a melody, more of a mood. And then he's there for everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to me, that only goes so far. Right?
I agree.
Okay.
The record has to be, I don't want to call it unreal, but it has to be like really over the top good. Like the name Quavo will maybe garner a listen, but it won't guarantee a hit.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting, right? Like, because like, for example, I'm trying to think like what's a Quavo, what's a record that he's been on lately that I really, really like? Like, I don't know. Like, I thought he was really good on Stir Fry. I like him on Motorsport. So it's not even like he always is on this, but like sometimes also like they make so many Quality Control Music makes so many records,
mm-hmm.
right? On one of these songs, he refers to them as like the new Cash Money, the new No Limit or something like that. And I get it because they are just churning out records.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think when you churn out records, like, you know, sometimes you're going to have some misses, and that's, I don't know. None of these songs really hit me that way. So. It's an interesting thing that this whole, it's almost like a Drake strategy that artists are doing now, right? Chance did it. Quavo's doing it where it's like, I'm dropping 3 or 4 new songs right now. It's the old Drake Scary Hours SoundCloud in the middle of night thing.
Yep.
You put some stuff out, see if any of them stick, go from there.
Yep. And if not, it's very, very low risk, high reward.
Totally. Because if Quavo puts out an album, if Quavo puts out a solo album in a year and none of these records are on it, nobody's going to care.
Nobody's going to care. And if he packaged this as, yo, new Quavo album, blah, 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 then it puts a different weight on it.
Right.
Versus if you just, oh, yeah, here's 3 records. You like them? No? All right, cool.
Keep it going.
Yep. Agreed.
Right, man. Anything that we've been going for a long time this week. Anything else you want to talk about?
Even if I did want to talk about something else, I think we've gone on way too long, and we'll just see you guys next time.
All right, we'll see you guys next time. So, reminder, where can people catch the premiere of your video?
You can check out RadioU.com. It'll also be on ArmandWakeUp.com and all my social medias. I'll make sure it's everywhere.
And when is this happening?
Friday. I don't know what time of day Friday. That's not up to me, but sometime Friday. I'm assuming it'll be like late morning, 10, 11, whatever. You take your lunch break and watch the video.
There you go.